ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. Mondays and Fridays, always a pleasure to welcome some wisdom to the radio, ladies and gentlemen. In the form of Brother Johnny today from New Orleans, who celebrated his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Johnny.
Thanks, TVJ. A little bit older. Good morning.
Mike, he's catching up with you. Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, all-around great guy in Naples this morning.
Thanks, Steve. Happy birthday, John. I didn't know it was your birthday, or I would have, that would have bought you something.
Well, I'll tell you something. We just keep moving on. I'm glad to be here. I'm going to try to have some more.
Well, we want you to have a whole bunch more, Johnny. As a gift, Mike's going to give you two strokes a hole the next time.
Guys, don't even get into my golf kit. Man, you talk about, I am lost in action.
We begin with the biggest quote of the week.
We were misled that there were supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But the American
people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
All right, my bad, Johnny. What difference does the whole darn Benghazi thing mean anyway? My bad.
Well, that's not a very smart response. She's just standing up to somebody who's criticizing them for what they did, which was not tell us what happened. And then they just don't want to talk about that. Their little ruse to make it a story that spun their way. It wasn't terrorists because we've eliminated terrorism. Just one of those things off a video wasn't true, and they don't want to talk about that. And we're trying to hold them accountable. But the difference it makes is that there's a lot of people overseas, and you want to try to protect them. So if we've done something wrong or could have done more, we want to know what we can do, and that's what difference it makes. So, I don't know, Mike. I'm kind of tired of seeing it all, but.
Yeah, I'm a little tired of it too. But, John, I mean, the bottom line, what you said, can't change what happened. But the point is, why weren't people told exactly what did happen? I think that's the whole thing. That's where the deception was. We know, everybody knows you can't change it, you can't undo it. I mean, the four Americans died. I mean, that's the bottom line. We understand all that. But why wasn't the truth told in the beginning? Why did it have to be deceit? Why did it have to be hidden? Why were there lies? I mean, these things happen in the world. Unfortunately, you don't like them to happen. But just tell the truth when they happen, that's all.
Yeah, and I don't know that we've ever heard any kind of an explanation as what they were thinking.
No, somebody dropped the ball, John, badly.
Well, what difference does it make? Four dead Americans. I mean, what difference does it make that somebody broke in at Watergate or Monica Lewinsky or Ron Contra? If we don't try and go back and actually explain it, it's always worse with the cover-up, Johnny, isn't it?
Yeah, but and it is. It does make a big difference because we have so many people serving our country that some are in pretty dangerous places, and we want to know exactly how we can manage that to keep them as safe as possible. It makes a lot of difference.
All right, so I don't think much else happens here, do you?
No, nothing.
All right.
I think it will be and should become a dead issue at this point because you can't go back in the beginning and say, okay, here's where we dropped the ball. We made a mistake in this area security-wise, and we took some things for granted that weren't, we shouldn't have. Okay, fine. People would probably be more willing to understand that. But I
think they will behind the scenes be trying to prevent this, obviously. I mean, there's no question. They'll be working on trying to prevent anything like this from happening again. As far as a public kind of deal and dragging it out, I don't think much more happens.
Yeah. All right. Gun control. I'm hearing all kinds of really strange comments from area law enforcement sheriffs that say, don't try and take the guns from my area because I'm not going to enforce them. Johnny, that would be unprecedented.
Well, there's no reality scenario that you can go take Americans' guns and have a very pleasant experience. There's a lot of people that are afraid of that, and in fact, there's a lot of people I think are overreacting the other way, buying tons of ammunition and arms for just because they are afraid they won't be able to buy them in the future. So I think you might have an interesting resistance to anything more than maybe some enforcement of regulations on the books and maybe some elimination of some type of guns. Mike, I don't think you're going to be going knocking on doors and taking guns with the same effect as maybe it's had in other times of history.
Well, I think in perception and reality, again, I mean, the perception is what they're trying to do, probably a lot of people agree with, but the reality is you can't do that. I mean, you've got a Second Amendment, you've got a lot of things, and a lot of the people that own firearms are good, outstanding, law-abiding citizens, and they own them for whatever reason, sport or for protection or whatever you want to, and they're entitled to do that. Our Constitution says you can do that. All of a sudden, we got a czar in the White House, and they're trying to change everything, and it's wrong. I don't care what far you are, it's wrong. And I'm not defending gun rights. I'm not against gun rights. I'm just saying you can't change the game in the middle of the game. I mean, and they're trying to change it.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of people that have weapons too, maybe more than I thought. So that's going to be an ongoing debate, and I think there's a lot of good that can actually come from talking about it, Stevie.
Yeah. All right, ESPN Radio 93.5. 95.3, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Johnny's in New Orleans. Mike's in Florida. Inauguration, lip-syncing, national anthem, Beyonce. I don't care. I don't care, Johnny. I don't care.
I tell you, she looked good to me. But I guess, you know, they told her, hey, we're going to do this because of sound. And, I mean, she's just the artist, and she's going to just go along with it. I think that's just one of those things that people are talking about something. And, I don't care. She sang fine. I'm sure it was
well,
a recording.
It's 20 degrees. She got there late. She said, let's just run the recording. I'll lip sync the thing. And I just, this was one of those deals that just doesn't bother me.
Not me, Mike. I mean, you know.
Not a bit. Doesn't bother me a bit.
No.
She timed it well.
What say?
She I don't think anybody well. Was listening to her. They were looking at her.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty woman. There's no question about it. And of course, there was a photo. They call them photo bombs when you're in a picture you're not supposed to be, of former President Clinton looking at Kelly Clarkson when she was singing, and that was gone viral. And the president just like, you know, people were putting captions on it like, that's a really pretty woman. I mean,
wow.
It was just crazy. All right, so all kinds of stuff about the inaugural two parties. It's all done. Now we move on. 1,456 days left, but who's counting? Okay, Bobby Jindal, your buddy, the governor of Louisiana, at a Republican conference.
We've got to compete for every single vote, 47% and the 53%. And by the way, any other combination that adds up to 100%.
All right, didn't you say that about 10 years ago, Johnny?
Well, and I think obviously that makes sense. And what he's getting at is I think he's seen you can't forfeit certain constituencies and assume they're not going to vote for you, because, number one, they will vote for you, and, number two, you'll lose. But he's a great guy, good, smart governor, and I think the state's doing much better. He's one of the young guns of the Republican Party, so we like him down here.
All right, Mike, everybody should be in play for votes. Are the Republicans being too exclusionary?
I don't know. I think it's a little disappointing to everybody that there is no cooperation in Washington, D.C. There's no reaching across the aisle. There's no concession on anything. Everybody's trying to hold their own side and say, we're the tough guy. We're going to get it done our way or no way. I think that's really wrong. I think that's unfair to the American people.
Oh, I don't know, Johnny. I don't see everybody coming together for a kumbaya moment, do you?
No. There's a lot of just disagreement, and a lot of disagreement for disagreement's sake. Yeah. That's what I think the American people are really tired of.
Well, and I think, too, when you have this kind of situation, and Speaker Boehner spoke to a partisan group last night and said they're just trying to destroy the Republican Party, how are they ever going to agree and say, I'll give you this if you give me that? I don't see any peace here.
I don't think they're trying.
No, I agree, guys. It's not going to happen. And I think you're right. I think that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to dismantle the Republican Party.
So, and I don't know what he's going to do if he does dismantle the Republican Party, because
well, they'll probably end up with the Communist Party or something like that.
Well, could be, but I tell you, it's time to do some things that really have some effect. We need to solve some of our problems. So it's not a good time to have this kind of irreconcilable differences where there's gridlock and no real attempt to make it look like they're working together to come up with a solution.
All right, let's switch to some sports. We talk about the New Orleans Saints. Sean Payton, the head coach, has been reinstated 2 weeks early. Was that to try and smooth the path of Roger Goodell for Super Bowl a week from Sunday in New Orleans?
It may have been. That's a good point, and it might help. Now, he just fired our defense coordinator, Mike Spagnuolo, is out.
Wow.
And our defensive back coach, of course, they had about the worst defense in ever, as Mike has pointed out. So I don't know Sean doesn't have anybody particularly in mind, but he's wanting to switch defenses. So we got a new defensive coordinator coming. And then the Bears got our coach, Coach Cromer, for the offensive coordinator in Chicago.
Well, the thing about the coordinators, I mean, I understand, but was it the scheme you were using or was the players you have? Now, I don't know. You can't say, well, the scheme was totally that bad. I mean, evidently, I don't care what scheme you put them in. Players got to go out and execute to some degree. Now, I understand it. Sean wants to make a change, and I understand it because basically that defensive staff was hired by the coordinator who's no longer there. So I understand all that right now, but I'm just saying, my goodness, you got to look where you got to look. Do we have the players to play this kind of defense? Can we do this or this? And if you can't, then you better do something that those players can do, because at least you got a chance of being somewhat effective.
Well, and I think you're right. And Spagnuolo, I thought the defense was actually getting better through the year, which is hard to do, and his first year. I don't know if they would have gotten along, Mike. I think there's a little bit of a personality issue possibly there.
Yeah,
I don't know Steve Spagnuolo well, but I don't know how he and Sean would have gotten along, which you don't have to get along, but I think that played in too.
Mike, if we're getting a little echo on your phone. I don't know if we – I don't want to miss any important comments. I don't know if you can grab the phone or something to make it a little clearer.
I got it in my hand now, but I mean, is it better now?
It's a little bit better now because, boy, I tell you, when Mike Ditka speaks, we want to hear every darn syllable. That's for darn sure. All right, the Super Bowl preparation continues. Mike, you've been through it. What are the guys doing right now?
I think you got to, people, you got to be careful. You don't want to get caught up in the hoopla. Listen, you can in a second. You got family, you got people who need tickets, you got transportation you're worried about. You can't let those things distract you. That all has to be done. It should all be done by this. It should have been done last week. Now, I don't know if it's done or not, or this week, rather. Coming down to New Orleans next week, it should be nothing about the finalization of the preparations for the game and get your mindset right. Hey, this is the last game. It's the most important game we're going to play, maybe in our lifetimes, but certainly this year. So let's make sure that we're in the right frame of mind to do that. I think that's the biggest thing coaches worry about. There's so daggone many distractions, and I'm not talking about the nightlife. That's always been there, but I'm talking about you got family, you got transportation, you got tickets, you got this, you got that, hotels. My goodness, it's a lot of work.
Well, you got probably people showing up out of the blue from times long ago, and you got
You got relatives you never knew you had.
You got the media. It's all over everybody. But and Mike is coming to New Orleans, Steve.
I know it, and you're going to be working the Super Bowl. What is it like when you walk, Mike? You're an icon. Everybody wants a piece of you. What is it like to walk around when everybody knows who you are and wants a picture?
Well, I'm not going to be out that much, but that's okay. I mean, if that's what I have to do to say thank you for everything I've gotten out of the game, that's not bad. I find it really offensive to me that athletes don't take the time to do that with people, and that bothers me. I know that you can't do it when you're playing your game of golf or whatever, but I think there's a time when you say, okay, I'm not doing anything. They want a picture, they want an autograph, give it to them. There's no problem. I went to a deal the other day. We were over at Adios on the other side, the Gridiron Greats. Mike Lucci had it, Jim Colbert. They had a lot, Jason Taylor, they had a lot of guys, like Chris Carter. They had like 250 footballs that I pre-signed. Oh. I signed them when I first got over there in the morning, so it was all done. And I was amazed, and I knew what was going to happen because Joe Namath was there. And Joe is just a marvelous guy. I was totally amazed. He stood up there, and every one of those damn footballs that they brought to him, he signed. And I kind of felt bad. I said, you know, we wanted Joe to show up. It was an event that we'd love to have him at and showcase him a little bit and let people hear him talk, but not just stand up and sign all those balls. Now, I don't mind doing it. I swear to God, I don't mind doing it.
Wow. And John,
well, it does mean a lot to some people. Well, he did. And I think it's a great asset, Mike, to be able to have that kind of patience and also just appreciation of the fans. And Steve and I have always been impressed how well you do with everybody. It gets fantastic.
Well, nobody understands. Mike is unbelievably generous. When people come up, though, Mike, and say, please sign Go Packers, you accommodate everybody. Talk to my Packers friend. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Holding babies. It's just amazing to me how gracious you are when you do 10,000 of these a day.
Well, you know, I the Packers, I like the Packers. I got, they want me to sign Go Saints, I like the Saints. I mean, if they want to say Go Dolphins, I like the Dolphins. I understand why they do that. I mean, when I'm signing things, I'll just put Go Bears on it because that's my team, you know, contrary to what a lot of people may think or know or understand, but it is. You know, I talked to the new coach the other day. I'm going to have a meeting with him eventually when I get back to Chicago. I don't know if I could be of any help to him, but I say it now, and I said it again, and I'll say it tomorrow or yesterday, whatever you want. It's the best job in the NFL. Coaching the Chicago Bears is the best job, in my opinion, in the NFL. And if you win, if you can get the job done, you own that town. You own that town. I mean, they're great fans. You know, it happened in my life. I saw it. So, I mean, I can just say to anybody, and it's because of the fans and the city. It's a good city. I mean, people, you don't knock at this and that. Yeah, everybody has their problems. But as a sports town, Chicago's pretty daggone good and pretty patient.
Yeah, and if they, like you say, when you get the job done, they won't forget about it.
Yeah, amazing. Last story this morning, John Kennedy auction.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
A copy of JFK's inaugural address, signed by Jackie Kennedy, is one of the items going to the auction block, along with a trove of Camelot treasures. The private collection of Dave Powers, JFK's special assistant and longtime friend. One of the coolest articles is Kennedy's Air Force One bomber jacket. There are scores of family photos, a signed record from Rat Packer and Kennedy pal Frank Sinatra. What may be the most poignant item is a birthday card from John Jr. to his father on his birthday. More than 650 lots go under the hammer. The auction is February 17th.
Surprise you, Johnny. Still the amazement of John Kennedy 50 years this year after he was assassinated?
Well, charismatic superstar in American history. So I think people that collect those things, I like looking at them, Mike. I might even bid on something like that if I had any time. I'd like that bomber jacket.
Yeah, that would be something.
Well, they ought to run that through the halls of Congress every day.
Yeah.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for you.
Right.
I mean, it's so true. It defies everything that's going on right now.
Yeah. There is no doubt about it. But yet, that's where we are. But boy, John Kennedy these days, Johnny, wouldn't he have been considered a bit of a conservative?
Bit of a conservative.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, there's this famous clip, Mike, of him in 1962 talking about tax cuts. What? A Democrat? What?
He
was a great man. He really was a great man. And, you know, I think history probably because of the way his life ended and everything. But I don't know. I think that if he would have stayed in the presidency, I think it might have been the greatest presidency of all time.
Mm.
Because he did bring people together. He did try to heal. And I think that's important.
Yeah, he tried to solve problems, too, and he saw some problems that needed addressing. And, you know, a short 3 years, and we'll never know.
Well, what would have happened in Vietnam? What would have happened? I mean, the whole thing could have been different. I mean, it's just amazing transformational moment. And, Mike, I know you'll be with your popcorn waiting on that Pro Bowl Sunday, huh?
Boy, is that exciting. Oh, my God. You know, I think the commissioner, I know he's going to do it. They're taking a long, hard look at it. if it's no more competitive than it's been in the last couple of years, they got to get rid of it. It's a joke. It's an embarrassment to ask people to watch it either on TV or in person. It really is a joke.
Yeah. Well, and not one more sports, but no, Stevie.
Yep.
It's the New Orleans Pelican NBA basketball team.
Yeah?
They changed the name from the Hornets to the Pelicans.
Really? Hey, maybe that'll do it. Maybe that'll
That's
really...
the state bird, and it kind of fits more Louisiana. Yeah. The Hornets were the Hornets, but
right. They
wanted a name change. That's Tom Benson's team. He owns both the Saints and the Pelicans.
Amazing. Guys, we'll leave it there, but we'll call Monday. Always a pleasure. Thank you ever so much, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mike.
Yep. All right, guys. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.